time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to it. The roundtable for this new week begins Monday, the 8th of June. Jay and Amanda, Ryan Doyle is off this week, joining us on the roundtable this evening. Host of the Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, coast to coast, and host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Freedom!
We're getting to that in a second. Don't you worry. Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, Laura Stone, joins us as well. Good to hear you, Laura. How are you?
Great.
Awesome. All right, Bill, I have been waiting for the whole show to ask you about this, so I'm expecting a rant. So obviously the premier has announced we are moving. Some of us are moving to stage two and some of us are not moving to stage two. You are in Ottawa and obviously you get freedom to get your hair done and whatever.
Feels pretty good.
But what did you think of the announcement today?
Can I, first of all, if you really want to rant, have them turn down the volume because my mic's coming back and it's okay. Weird to hear yourself 10 seconds later because you think, boy, am I full of crap. There was that moment. So I'll keep waiting. Go to someone else first.
Is it fixed yet?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get the tech problem on Bill's end fixed. Yeah, Laura? Laura, your thoughts?
Hey, well, I think we all had expected a regional approach after the premier had resisted it for so long, and then he came out recently and said that because testing was going well and things were kind of on the up and up that Ontario would be considering it. I think when you look at the numbers and you see the way that the Toronto region and Peel region dominates the COVID cases, I think people saw this coming in terms of allowing a regional approach. That said, I think there are some questions still about why certain things can reopen and why they can't. I mean, for an example, as part of stage two opening is you can get a tattoo again. So if you're in Ottawa, you can go get a tattoo. If you're a family in the Toronto area, you can't, your kid can't play on a play structure. Well, no one can, but your kid can't practice baseball, for instance, because that's not part of the reopening. So there are some pretty big divides still going on. And I think that the reason the premier avoided this is because he didn't want to isolate people in Toronto. He didn't want to anger people in Toronto who are itching to go out and do stuff and are still going to have to wait while others are now going to be allowed.
Bill, what about you?
Well, I mean, look, it's great that I already have a dinner appointment for a patio on Friday night. Oh. We had two new cases in Ottawa.
Bill, you there?
So, can you hear me now, guys?
Amanda can't hear Bill. If you mic, you want to check down on your end. But go ahead, Bill. I can hear you.
Yeah. So it's fantastic that we can go back to almost business as usual. But I still think it's too slow. I think we are, the whole province, I believe, could have moved to phase two today. I was just reading about the World Health Organization, and they are now saying that there is very little chance that this virus gets passed by asymptomatic people. Think about that. Think about what a game changer that is, if true. The World Health Organization says studies in countries that are ahead of us on the curve have shown that asymptomatic people are not really spreading this disease. It's the main reason we have social distancing. We need a whole new set of rules that would say, if you have symptoms, don't go to work, don't leave the home. We need to spend time focusing on people with symptoms and making sure we isolate them, test the people they've been in contact with. Otherwise, this explains so much about why the disease is not spreading to the degree we thought it would, why the early models were all wrong. They were assuming a lot more asymptomatic spread. It's not there. And what's more, I think that a lot of our public health care officials have been realizing for weeks now that their models were ridiculous, that they've missed the mark here, and they are slowly backing down when they could back down much faster. So while I'm happy that we're moving ahead a little bit, I think Toronto got a bad deal. Let's get even more regional. Let's say this neighborhood shuts down, this business shuts down, this farm, this factory shut. Let's not shut down entire communities. Let's stop doing that. It's no longer necessary.
Yeah, so essentially what Bill's talking about, this would be hotspot tracing, and those are the places that we'd focus our resources. But I mean, I'm listening to you, Bill, and Laura, I'd love your thoughts on this. Aren't these great problems to have? I mean, obviously it's very frustrating learning this, but I mean, it could have been a lot worse news, right? It could have been, we're finding out that asymptomatic people have actually infected far more people than we had ever imagined.
Fantastic news. Listen, we probably overreacted, but it's better we overreacted than underreacted. But it's time now for them to admit. I mean, look, the World Health Organization got it wrong on travel. They were too late declaring the pandemic. They were wrong originally on masks. They were wrong about asymptomatic. Some of this stuff can't be helped. The mask thing was just stupid and common sense. They never should have come out against masks, homemade masks for people. Never. Whether or not it's spreading asymptomatically, look, the early signs showed it might be doing that. That's a scary thought. But I think that was the deciding factor for them. And now they're slowly pulling back on that. And it's time that the media picked up on it and that our public health officials admitted, you know what, if it's not spreading easily asymptomatically, why the hell are we not all sitting on a restaurant patio? I'm not saying open up every restaurant. I'm not saying I want to go to a hockey game right now with 17,000 other people. But there are a lot of things we could all be doing right now, even in the GTA.
Now, when he says the media, Laura, he's talking to you.
Who, me? Look, I think I think that, you know, one thing's for sure. This virus does kill people, right? And I don't think it's fair to say the models missed the mark. I mean, those were all presented as worst case scenarios, or our hospitals could have been overwhelmed, as we saw in Italy.
Sure, but even their ranges, their lower ranges, we didn't even get close to those. So they did miss the mark.
Because we also instituted things to keep people at home and to avoid,
of course,
situations.
But we saw the modeling, even including social distancing. The first federal models they showed us said social distancing over the next 18 months will mean this number, and we're not close to those numbers. And now it's probably because it doesn't spread as easily and as quickly as we thought, only in very particular environments, indoors, closed spaces, people with symptoms. We know now. We know how this virus works. We know so much more about it than we did 3 months ago. I'm not blaming them. I'm saying it's great news. Look, it's not as easy to get this virus as we thought. Let's get back to something more like our normal lives, because we're going to have to live with a higher level of risk than we've had in a long time. You're right. It's deadlier than the flu, and it's probably just as easy to get, and we don't have a vaccine. So, yes, we got to continue to be careful. Still wear a mask in crowded places. All of those things are in play. But the other problem is, you know, you can't have a prime minister take a knee in a crowd of thousands of people and then find the pizzeria down the street because somebody sat on their closed patio to eat their takeout. You can't do that. People are tuning it out. It's better to be honest with them and say, yeah, we may have missed the mark a little bit. It's safer than we thought. Let's move on. That's what they need to do now.
Are you good, Amanda? Is that enough, Bill?
That was great. That? Love it. I'm going to record it and put it and play it underneath my pillow at night when I go to sleep.
Never had a woman say that to me before, ever.
Let's move on. Toronto Police Chief Mark Saunders announcing that he'll be stepping down July the 31st. I'll start with you, Laura. What do you think of the timing? Obviously, the chief saying he wants to spend more time with his family, and people already talking replacement. Is it crucial that we hire someone, a minority, someone that's in a minority group, or a woman, or is it just about getting the right person in the job?
Well, look, I think this was a surprising announcement, especially because his time was coming to an end in less than a year. So usually when people are extended or we know the end date of his tenure, I don't think a lot of people expected him to bow out before that. And it is such a unique, crazy, unforeseen time in policing that we're seeing right now. Now, the chief said that he informed people last week. So, you know, what it relates to what's happening right now or not, it's certainly interesting timing. In terms of, who's going to replace him or what kind of person, I think this is a lot of soul searching going on right now in how policing operates. Who should lead? Are there going to be maybe multiple people at the top who are in charge of various streams? And we talked about this previously, but having more mental health recognition, and what does policing look like, and what kind of person is going to be running that? I think this is kind of an opportunity for Toronto to dig into those questions. But I'm not going to prejudice who should be in or what kind of person, but I think it is a time to really dig deep and think about what you want the future of the police force to look like in Toronto and who is the best person to do that.
Bill?
Yeah, well, we know it's not going to be a white man There's just no chance it happens in this climate. And I'm actually okay with that, because in an ideal world, color would not matter. Gender would not matter. But we don't live in an ideal world, and we have issues that need to be dealt with. And the optics here are important. Plus, you know, we've had black members of the police force in Toronto and all around Canada for a long time. There are many qualified people who could do that. That would just be the right thing to do with. At this moment in time, I'd be okay with that. I think it's important that you get someone that the community can trust, because those of us who are white men, we're not so scared. We all get a little nervous when the red lights come on in the car behind us and we think, what the hell did I get caught doing now? But for the most part, we haven't had to live our lives with that kind of fear. So I'm okay with that, and I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
Another one of the announcements from the premier today had to do with commercial evictions. And, you know, the question being asked as commercial evictions being banned through the end of August till the 31st. You know, I'll ask you, Laura, this is something that tenants have been asking for months now. Is it too little too late, or is it better than nothing?
Well, I think there are some people who would say it's too little too late. And if you have been previously evicted, I'm not sure that this applies to you. I think it's only retroactive to June 3rd. So yes, I mean, you know, some people will argue it should have been done sooner. And the premier was certainly asked about it enough during press conferences. And but by the same token, he said, you know, he wanted to see the program get up and running. He wanted to give landlords a chance to actually apply for it. I mean, you can't come in guns blazing and do something before you see if the program actually works. Clearly, it fell short. So I think, you know, people will give the government the benefit of the doubt on whether they should have acted sooner. I think they'll just be happy to see that it's happened if this has impacted you.
Bill?
Well, can you just repeat the question for me? I'm sorry, I'm frustrated. I can hear them queuing up in the control room, and I didn't hear.
No, sure, absolutely. The premier today announcing a ban on commercial evictions, essentially through the end of August,
yep,
something that commercial tenants have wanted for so long. Is this enough?
Well, you know, the criticism is going to be, maybe you've already said this, I didn't hear, but the criticism is going to be that he should have done it sooner. But this is so fundamental to who he is, right? Letting business do business, not having government interfere if it doesn't have to. I think he really believed, because he's been pleading for, what, 2 weeks? This makes no sense, guys. You're not going to have another tenant lined up to take that property. Work with your tenants. What the hell are you doing? And I think he probably wanted that to work more than anything else, so he didn't have to use the heavy hand here. But in the end, it's a credit to him that now that he realizes the heavy hand is what it's going to take, he's going to play the heavy hand. And it's not too late, because Toronto could be in a state of lockdown or virtual lockdown quite a bit longer, sadly, and probably unnecessarily. But that's the reality that he's looking at. So good for him for finally doing it.
I've got about a minute left, so I'd love to hear 30 seconds from each of you. Toronto Mayor John Tory today bringing up the possibility of tolls coming to a road near you sometime in the near future. Laura, is something like tolls inevitable as we try and claw our way out of the money that we've lost inside of COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's inevitable, but I think it's more of a possibility than I had previously thought. And we've heard about the economic problems of Toronto. We've seen what the government has offered now, the federal government, $14 billion for the entire country, where Toronto is in the hole of $1.5 billion. So, you know, they're going to have to do something. We know they don't want to raise taxes. Is this a possibility? We'll see. And I would be curious to see what the province does to stop it or to interject if they're wholeheartedly against this concept, which I would assume they are.
Bill, you got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, let's cause heavier traffic on non-tolled roads. That's really the solution. People avoid toll roads if they can, and they will. It's also maybe not the world's best time to think about a revenue source, people driving their cars, when so many of us have learned we can work from home and don't need to take our cars. So I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it'll work out in the long run.
Bill Carroll, Laura Stone, thank you both so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great night.